State data show nearly 500 freshwater bodies in Central Florida are polluted enough to be considered impaired. Some Orange County residents are trying to keep a lake that they love off that unhealthy list by letting engineers test new technologies. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Joe Mario Pedersen, in for Brendan Byrne. Orange County residents are determined to keep Lake Kane in Orlando off that unhealthy list with the help of new developing autonomous lake monitoring drones. Joyce Johnson, owner of CCI Wadar, says that the Wadar system uses sonar to create a 3D scan of a lake and what's in it, helping monitor nutrient levels and other kinds of water quality data over time.
You can make all the decisions you want about how you feel about the lake, but what's actually there is what you're trying to change. We're the data collectors. We make it real.
Engineers have also demoed the Wadar technology at Lake Hiawassee and Lake Howard in Winter Haven. According to Florida Lake Watch data, nutrient levels in both lakes are too high. That's ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. The Central Florida Expressway Authority's governing body has taken a step toward acquiring more conservation land in Orange County for a toll road already planned to slice through the protected Split Oak Forest. The resolution approved on Thursday declares about 44 acres, including some conservation land, as necessary for building the toll road. That includes just under 3 acres within Orange County's 232-acre Eagles Roost Park. Orange County District 1 Commissioner Nicole Wilson urged the CFX board not to pass the measure.
For Orange County citizens, conservation land is more than just a line on a map. It's a guarantee of clean water, thriving wildlife habitat, climate resilience, and places for our families to connect with nature. Once those lands are fragmented or paved over, they are lost forever.
Eagles Roost is home to the recently reopened Back to Nature Wildlife Refuge, although Orange County and CFX say the refuge won't be impacted by the acquisition. The CFX board passed the resolution declaring the land necessary 7-3, with Orange and Brevard County members voting against it. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commissioners voted unanimously on Wednesday to approve rules for a regulated bear hunt beginning with an initial 23-day hunting season this December. The goal of scheduling it then is to avoid hunting too many female bears who start hibernating before males do. Before the vote, commissioners heard hours of feedback from more than 150 members of the public, both for and against the hunt. Steve Bogensky, a retired Miami law enforcement officer, urged FWC not to approve the hunt.
Those on the commission using the word conservation need not vote to employ unfair, cruel tactics like hounding, archery, and baiting. If you're going to do this thing, please have a conscience, morality, some sense of dignity, fair play, and respect for the bears.
FWC staff say that the goal of the bear hunt, or harvest, is to control population growth proactively before there are too many bears for the habitat Florida has available for them. For the first time, United Launch Alliance's new Vulcan rocket launched a national security mission from Cape Canaveral. Central Florida Public Media's Marion Summerall has more.
And liftoff of United Launch Alliance Vulcan rocket carrying USSF 106 for the United States Space Force.
This mission was ULA's third time launching its new Vulcan Centaur rocket, but its first time carrying payloads for the U.S. Space Force. The security mission includes one classified payload, as well as an experimental navigation satellite system, the first of its kind for the Department of Defense in nearly 50 years. The mission brought the payloads to geosynchronous orbit, about 22,000 miles above the Earth. This orbit matches the planet's rotational period, allowing a payload deployed there to orbit above roughly the same spot. Marion Summerall, Central Florida Public Media.
The Seminole County Commission approved 2 tax increases on Tuesday, adding to the cost of a gallon of gasoline and services providing electricity, water, natural gas, and propane. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Burns has this report.
Seminole County has added 5 cents to its local share of the gas tax. The additional local option tax, totaling about $9 million a year, will go to build or resurface roads and operate public transit. The County Commission also voted to raise the tax on public services from 4% to the maximum 10% in unincorporated parts of the county. And it's considering a 10% increase in the countywide property tax rate, largely tied to the Sheriff's Office budget. Commissioner Andrea Herr says the county, quote, solved for the minimum that we needed and funded it through the appropriate sources.
Doing all three at once is the best way to make sure that property owners don't bear the entire burden of the need.
A final vote on the property tax is planned for September 23rd. Joe Burns, Central Florida Public Media.
These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. The Broadway classic, The Music Man, may have been written in the 1950s, but it's not your grandmother's musical. So says Brandy Elazer, who's directing The Music Man in concert from Central Florida Vocal Arts and the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra. She says there's a lot the show can still teach us.
Definitely a theme that, you know, we can still relate to today, that having, you know, more in common, that music speaks to all of us in a certain way, and so we find that common ground with people who we might consider different from us.
Hear more on Spotlight by subscribing to the Spotlight podcast anytime. Visitors and Floridians alike treasure the state's freshwater resources, but state data show thousands of those freshwater bodies are so unhealthy, they're considered impaired, including nearly 500 here in our region. As Central Florida Public Media's environment reporter Molly Durig tells us, some Orange County residents are using new lake monitoring technology to try and keep their lake off that unhealthy list.
It's a sunny July morning right around the corner from Universal Studios on Lake Kane, and Jerome J. Madigan just jumped in. He's headed straight for the bottom.
You go below 20 feet, it's going to be darker.
At its deepest, Lake Kane is 33 feet. There's some muck down there. Muck, meaning wet, decomposed soil formed by decayed plants and other dead organic matter. The dark, oozy sediment tends to settle at the bottom of Florida lakes. Right now, that muck is what Madigan is diving down to look for.
It goes arm's length into this stuff, and it's not solid at the bottom. I didn't feel like there's no hard bottom.
Muck's not inherently bad, but when too much of it builds up, muck will basically start rotting at the bottom of a lake, spewing more nutrients into the water as the muck decays and sucking up dissolved oxygen that fish, plants, and bottom critters need to survive. It's a situation Madigan wants to avoid at Lake Kane.
Our mission is to keep this lake swimmable, fishable, and lovable.
Madigan is with a local nonprofit formed by people like him who love Lake Kane and want it to be healthy for future generations. Engineers he's working with at a company called CCI Wadar want to help. Not just here, but other lakes in Central Florida, too.
One of the things I love is being able to see the unseen.
That's Stephen Curless, lead research developer for CCI Wadar, a patent-pending lake monitoring technology company with an office in Kissimmee.
You can see the bottom dropping out, so we're now at 23 feet.
The Wadar is new technology. In fact, so new, it's still being developed. It uses sonar to capture lake data autonomously, enough data to create a 3D map or digital twin of the lake and what's in it. The sensor system can either be deployed by an underwater drone or the way Curless is using it today, attached to a rigid inflatable boat. Nothing fancy. Curless says the goal is to create a system that the average person with an average boat can use to capture water quality metrics. Not the typical way from one or two sampling sites, but throughout the entire lake.
We're attempting to characterize how much nutrient is actually there because no one freaking knows.
You can use data to see whether progress is happening over time. Data for things like the lake's nutrient and bacteria levels, temperature, and acidity. Wadar is collecting that data for Lake Kane right now, getting a baseline for the lake's health.
He's got the sensor in the water.
It's a pitch CCI is making to several local governments to use Wadar to help track data on Central Florida lakes, like Lake Howard, a lake in Polk County that's considered hyper-eutrophic, meaning way too nutrient-rich. Ashley Smith is an associate professor of biogeochemistry at the University of Florida. Smith says while lakes need some nutrients to be healthy, there's a tipping point once algae starts to bloom.
That turning of the water to that like guacamole colored green, like that is eutrophication. That is, we have way too many nutrients.
On this mid-July morning, just minutes away from Lake Kane, much littler Lake Odell basically looks like one big green algae bloom.
The vividness of the green is concerning.
Odell and another smaller lake nearby flow into Lake Kane. The latest Florida Lake Watch data available show both lakes are hyper-eutrophic. Florida's porous soils make it much easier for groundwater and nutrients to flow between water bodies, meaning nutrients from that bag of leaf clippings you just dropped into one lake will likely wind up in other water bodies too.
And you might not see that effect in your lake, in your backyard, but Florida is just like very well connected. So what you're doing does have consequences for downstream.
Okay, I found a deep spot.
Consequences Jay Madigan is looking to understand for Lake Kane. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
That's it for The Wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with assistance from news director Latoya Dennis and digital director Ryan Ellison. I'm Joe Mario Pedersen. This is The Wrap.